really, you know, chapters 9 through 11 talk about Israel. And, you know, Paul in Romans 8 talking about what can separate us from the love of God? Nothing. And yet, well, you know, that begs the question, what about Israel? And therefore, he turns, you know, the topic in this parentheses, these three chapter parentheses, to Israel. The rejection of Israel, how they rejected their Messiah. And he's not through with Israel. We come to chapter 11 next week. We see he's got a plan for Israel. He turns back to Israel, and it's not done yet. But we pick up in chapter 9, beginning with verse 30, where we left off last week. He quoted some scriptures in the Old Testament regarding, you know, that God foresaw and prophesied that, you know, he would turn to the Gentiles and open the door to the Gentiles. And quoting these scriptures, then he says in verse 30, what shall we say then? He asks a question. That Gentiles who did not pursue righteousness have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness of faith. Yep. In verse 31, but Israel, pursuing the law of righteousness, has not attained it to the law of righteousness. He's going to get into this in depth here as we go on. You know, how the Gentiles, picking up what he was talking about earlier, you know, that we're justified by faith in Christ alone, not by works, not by the law, not by our flesh. Not by any other means, but that of believing in the work of Jesus Christ. And the law, the Jews following the law, never attained the righteousness because they did not, in verse 32, they did not seek it by faith, but as it were by the works of the law, for they stumbled at the stumbling stone, as it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and rock of offense, and whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. Let's pray. Lord, as we continue through your word, Lord, we are truly privileged, Lord, with the freedom that you've drew us and called us and saved us and wrote our name in your book of life. And Lord, here we are before you, your children. And Lord, we desire to listen, hear, grow, learn, follow. Lord, we turn to you. We give this time to you. We do ask that you intervene and minister and bless, Lord, by your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. He, continuing, talking about Israel, says that because they rejected their Messiah, Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ, became a stumbling stone to them. Why did they not receive the righteousness that comes from God? Is because they didn't seek it by faith. They sought it by works. And they stumbled. They stumbled at the stumbling stone. In 1 Corinthians, Paul writes, we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block. A stumbling block would be, you know, like you're walking down the sidewalk and you stumble over a stone. And they've tripped up and fallen, stumbled at Jesus Christ, their Messiah. Having not sought him by faith, they stumbled. In chapter 10, it really talks to explain, you know, really what they're stumbling over. Why they stumbled at Christ. Brethren, verse 1, chapter 10, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. A similar opening as the last chapter, he said, man, I'd count myself a curse if it meant the salvation of Israel. Now him again saying, man, it's my heart's desire. And, you know, cut Paul's heart open. He loved the Israelites and the Jews, You know, you wonder if we could say that about ourselves. You know, we pray often for passion for souls and others. And, you know, Paul says, my heart's desire is that they would be saved. And him, you know, demonstrating that desire through his reaching out to them and trying to communicate to them. Paul's heart desire is that Israel would be saved. Now, back in chapter 9, we've seen, you know, not all are Israel that are Israel, called Israel. There is a remnant that's saved, you know, that accept Christ. But he's talking in a broader sense, you know, hey, man, all of Israel would be saved. But they fell short of that salvation because they didn't seek righteousness by faith. In verse 2, chapter 10, for I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. In verse 3, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God. Some reasons why they stumbled over Christ, their Messiah, rejecting their Messiah. They had a zeal, Paul says, but not according to knowledge, not the right kind of zeal. You know, they kept, you know, their prayer times up. They went to temple. The Bible says that, you know, they were faithful in their religious duties. And yet they had a zeal, but not according to knowledge. You know, not according to the truth. Their zeal was misplaced, misdirected. Paul had a zeal. He went around calling, killing Christians, but the wrong kind of zeal, wrong kind of energy. They lacked truth. The Bible says that they were ignorant, in verse 3, ignorant of God's righteousness. Again, trying to establish their own righteousness, trying to keep the law and on a basis of a legal relationship with God rather than on a loving relationship with God. They were religious and falling short, stumbling over Jesus. The main reason they stumbled over Jesus in verse 3, they have not submitted to the righteousness of God. They stumbled because they didn't submit. You know, these are things that apply to us too. And if we got some kind of legalistic bent or religious kind of idea, you know, establishing our own righteousness rather than submitting to him and his way, having a misdirected zeal for him, spinning our wheels, working in our flesh. Paul says that, you know, I don't want to be like one that beats the air, you know, like shadow box. He wants his punches to land, to be meaningful. And not to lack truth or be ignorant, but to enter his truth and understanding. Reasons why they stumbled. Unbelief. They didn't seek it by faith. You know, stumbling would be lose your balance. You know, get off balance. I was watching Sean Johnson, that cute little gymnast last night, on the balance beam. Did anybody see her? Oh, man, she just, you know, she was the one predicted to win the gold for the United States. But she didn't win. Another American won the gold, all-around gymnast. She's so cute. You know, she deserved to win the gold. So she got her last opportunity on the balance beam. She kept her balance. She didn't stumble. And, you know, she got off balance a couple little times, but tucked it in, you know. Whereas, you know, one of the girls or two of them fell off the balance beam. It's a marvel how they keep their balance on that 4-inch beam, you know, do backflips and all they do. But not to stumble is to keep our balance. They lost their balance. They don't accept Jesus Christ. The way God comes, his provision on his terms, his way through the gospel, they rejected. Thus, stumbled, lost their balance, fell because of false zeal, ignorance, unwillingness to submit. Turn to 1 Peter. Peter adds a little bit about this stone. 1 Peter 2, look in verse 6. Therefore, it is also contained in the scripture, "Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. Therefore, to you who believe, he is precious. But to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble being disobedient to the word to which they also were appointed." Rejected their Messiah. Stumbled. He became an offense. You know, Paul writes to the Galatians, he says, you know, if I still preach circumcision, why do I suffer persecution? Then the offense of the cross has ceased. And if I was still going about according to the Old Testament, the old way, it wouldn't bring the offense of Jesus Christ. And yet, the cross was a stumbling block, an offense to the Jews. Peter, before the Sanhedrin in the book of Acts, after being questioned about a man he healed or God healed through him, said, "Let it be known to you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you whole." Yeah, we could say that about ourselves. You know, this is the stone which was rejected by the builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Having rejected Jesus, their Messiah, being ignorant of the truth that leads to righteousness, they rejected him and thus stumbled over him. The truth and the gospel, the simple truth of the gospel. He goes on in verse 4, "For Jesus, for Christ, is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes." That old way has been put to death by Jesus. Here he's like the one that put it to the end. He's like the Terminator, you know. He terminated the law. And it's funny, too, because if you hear his voice, he'll be back. He's coming again. But he put to death and put to end, he end the old dispensation, Paul teaches. Then he gets into really how not to stumble. You know, if you look in verse 5, the Bible tells us, "For Moses writes about the righteousness which is of the law. The man who does those things live by them." You know, that scripture is quoted often in Galatians, you know, "the just shall live by faith." And contrary to that, you know, the problem is that we can't keep the law. No one can keep the law. And the law is self-contained, and the message of the law is, hey, you can live by the law if you can keep the law. But the problem is we can't keep the law. We're all guilty. We're all sinners. That's what Paul came up with. Remember, he says, you know, if it wasn't for thou shall not covet, that's the one that nailed me, Paul said. And you know why? You know, you go through, thou shalt not kill. I didn't kill anybody. Thou shalt not steal, you know, bear false witness. I didn't lie. I've been a good Pharisee. But thou shalt not covet. See, it talks about the sin in our heart. Have you ever coveted anything? We're all guilty. And then that opens up the truth of God's conviction. When Jesus said, you know, it's not, you know, it's written that man shall not kill. But I say unto you, if you look at your brother with hate in your heart, you're guilty of murder. It's the things in our heart that we're found guilty of. We're all busted. We're all guilty. We're all sinners, minus none. All fall short of the glory of God. That's what Paul's saying. You know, hey, you can't live in the law. You can't keep the law. And to seek righteousness by the law, it's a waste of time. But righteousness of faith. And in verse 6, he contrasts, you know, the righteousness that one chases after legalistically. But the righteousness of faith speaks in this way. "Do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down from above." He's going to use a passage, and it's worth looking at because it's really interesting. It brings to light the rest of this chapter. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 30. It's a passage God spoke concerning the written word. And yet Paul relates it to the living word. In Deuteronomy chapter 30, beginning of verse 12. For this commandment which I command you today, verse 11, it is not too mysterious for you, nor is it far off. It is not in heaven that you should say, who will ascend into heaven for us and bring it to us, that we may hear it and do it. Nor is it beyond the sea that you should say, who will go over the sea for us and bring it to us, that we may hear it and do it. But the word is very near to you, in your mouth and in your heart, that you may do it. Paul, using that passage to relate, communicate, you know, how close salvation and Jesus is and righteousness by faith. He quotes a couple of verses in that passage back in Romans chapter 9. He says in verse 6, but the righteousness of faith speaks in this way. Do not say in your heart who will ascend into heaven. And then in parentheses he says, that is to bring Christ down from above. Or who will descend into the abyss, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word, even in your mouth, is in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. It's close. He uses this passage to communicate how close Christ is. And obtaining Christ is obtaining that righteousness. You accept Jesus Christ in your heart, you get this righteousness that he's talking about all through the book of Romans. The righteousness that God demands from every human creature. The righteousness that it can only come by faith comes only through and in Jesus Christ. By accepting him, you're in. You've been accepted by him. He's relating this, you know, because it's so simple. It's not out of reach. It's not so far. It's not mysterious. You know, don't let anybody tell you that it's really for the elite or the brainiacs or some, you know, super spiritual group. You know, the Masons, they got these secret spiritual truths. You know, that's not what the Bible tells us. Jesus spoke out in the open. He spoke clearly and plainly to the common man. Spiritual truth isn't a mystery. And Paul's saying, you know, hey, it's as close as your mouth and close as your heart. That's how close obtaining Jesus Christ is, living in Christ, obtaining his righteousness, living in his righteousness. It's not far off, you know, difficult to grasp, you know, some kind of moral giant possesses, but we can't. Paul quotes that passage because he's relating that it's simple. He's communicate to the Jews, you know, they seek righteousness by the law. They've rejected Jesus, and yet Jesus is so close, as close as our nose to our face. He's here. Paul in the book of Acts says, in him we live, we move, we have our being. He's here in the room today. We live in him. He desires to live in us. He's not out of reach. Paul continues, in verse 9, he says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You can obtain this righteousness by faith. Jews, or unbeliever, or rejecter, or ignorant one. Just simply by accepting him, confessing with your mouth Jesus is Lord, believing in your heart. You know, both them words are really speak of an action, our salvation, you know, confessing it. They're verbs. God desires that we respond in a action when we, you know, just we don't mouth that he's, you know, my Savior. We live like he's our Savior, my Savior. It changes our life. He transforms our life. But he says, notice he says, you know, if you believe in your heart, it's with our heart. We can't understand it with our mind. You know, there's something that takes place when he saves us that goes deep into our core, our spiritual innermost being, the Bible tells us. For out of your innermost being will flow forth rivers of living water. It transcends our mind and our thinking and our logic and our ability to harness and possess and understand. It's deep, deep, deep. How do you know that you're saved? I know that I know. How do you know that you know? I know that I know that I know. Because it's something that our spirit bears witness with his spirit that we are children of God. Simple. Accessible. Close. Near is your mouth and in your heart. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, requiring an action, he's our Lord, that denotes lordship, following him, his way, living according to his way. But Paul's saying that righteousness that comes by faith is so close, it's attainable, it's accessible to all of us. In verse 10, for with the heart one believes to righteousness. With the mouth, confession is made to salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. You know, no regrets. That's the stumbling block. It's in that passage. And behold, I lay a stone, a precious cornerstone, tried in Zion. I lay a precious cornerstone. And whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. You know, we can struggle and be in a contention right now, but there'll be no regrets. Guaranteed. It comes guaranteed according to God's written promise. When it's all over and everything's said and done, we're not going to be put to shame. We'll have no regrets for the time that we spend with him, in him, for him. You know, it's such a fight so often. You know, and the contention, you know, sometimes it doesn't seem like it's making a difference. And yet, the truth is, we're to fight. Hold the line. Continue to the end. We're to stay the course, the Bible tells us. The Olympics give us such, you know, illustrations of how, did you see how Michael Phelps won that race by just reaching out, you know, attaining the prize because of the effort and the energy. It's a fight. You know, we were talking today about God rules. What's this upcoming thing about God rules? It used to be called No Rules When God Rules. I don't like that. Never liked that title. I just like God rules, period. Exclamation point. And yet, what's it about? You know, years back, it was about abstinence and teenagers, you know, keeping their purity. And that's good. And that's part of what it's about. But that's not the main gist of what it's about. The main gist is, you know, staying the course. Realizing that God's in control no matter what's going on. You know, the content, being content in him. Accepting what he has. And the contentment that he gives. Looking to, reaching out. Receiving the contentment that he has, where we're at in him. He's close to us, as close as our mouth and our heart. And whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. Chief cornerstone. You know, to some, he's a stumbling block, those that reject him. But to some who build upon him, see that he says the chief cornerstone for the builders rejected, but the builders who accept. You build your life on him. It changes our life. No regrets. We'll not be put to shame. He's worthy to build our life upon. For, you know, eternal purposes. Jesus said, you know, whoever hears my words and does them is like an, I liken them like a man who builds his house upon a rock. Family, children, grandchildren, life, security, future, purpose, meaning. No regrets. Our lives built upon the chief cornerstone will not be put to shame, he says. It's a promise of hope to stay the course and fight the fight. In verse 12, For there is no distinction between Jews and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. No distinction. Everybody has equal access before him. He's close. He's not a respecter of person, doesn't favor one over the other. We all have, you know, a level ground at the foot of the cross. He goes on in verse 13, for whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whoever, this is the second whoever in this passage, whoever calls upon him, whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. Interesting because, you know, last chapter we read was about, or we talked about the doctrine of election. And, you know, God predestinates and foreknows and predestines and for whom he called, he predestined. And now we got, you know, whoever exercises that choice, calls upon him. He's close. He's attainable. He's accessible. He doesn't favor one over the other. He can be saved. Enter in. In verse 14, how then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? The need and the necessity to share, to pass on the word, to pass on the nuggets that God's given you, to share because people can't hear unless you tell them. How can they hear without a preacher? He says this in verse 15, and how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. You know, there's so much concern about pedicures today. When the truth is, you know, if you really want beautiful feet, share the word. Preach the gospel. The Bible says, beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? Not all will. Quoting from Isaiah 53 in verse 17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You know, we go through the motions, you know, the routine. And you come on Wednesdays and, you know, we're in Romans. Now we're in Romans 9 and 10, and then we're going to be in 11 next week, and we're going to work our way through Romans. And, you know, chapter at a time, we're going through the whole Bible. And, you know, sometimes, you know, what's it good for? Well, he tells us right here, by the word comes faith. And it strengthens our faith. It's not time wasted. You won't be put to shame. It's an investment in him and his plan and his purpose. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. But I say, verse 18, have they not heard? Yes, indeed. Their sound has gone out to all the earth and their words to the ends of the world. But I say, did Israel not know? First Moses says, I will provoke you. He's saying, you know, is it that God withheld his love and grace from Israel? Israel rejected their Messiah. Now he's saying, you know, were they deprived from, you know, the juice like we've got it? No, not at all. Even Moses says, you know, I will provoke them, you to jealousy by those who are not a nation. I will anger you by a foolish nation. He's seeking to reach them by the Gentiles. But notice, he goes on, Isaiah is very bold and says, I was found by those who did not seek me. I was made manifest to those who did not ask for me. Always available. If you think back in truth, you know, how we're here, where we're at, how we became Christians. You know, back when the early days, when what drew us? In all truth, who gets the credit? You know, I was found by those who didn't seek me. who's behind our salvation. And, you know, he gets the credit. It was him. Now, I look back at my own, I think, how in the world, you know, I'm in the place I'm in is only because of Jesus Christ and what he did. And so many times, you know, set me up. He tricked me many times to get me from point A to point B, to follow him in his plan. He definitely tricked me, set me up. He loves us so much, he sets us up. I was found by those who did not seek me. I was made manifest by those who did not ask for me. In verse 21, but to Israel, he says, all day long I have stretched out my hands to a disobedient, contrary people. All day long. I like that. You know, it gives a picture that he's always available and willing and ready to save you, anyone, all day long, trying to reach the nation that rejected him. Don't accept their Messiah. You know, the tone of his love, always available. Simple, accessible, no distinction. You know, it doesn't favor one over the other. Close, nearby, close as your mouth or your heart. Don't, you know, let someone tell you that it's so difficult to grasp. It's simple. Paul wrote to Timothy, as simple as a child can receive it. He breaks it down for us. It's as easy as confessing him as Lord and believing in the inner part of his Lordship, knowing God raised him from the dead, knowing who he is and his deity and his Lordship, what he requires for us to follow him. We all know. No, there's no mystery about it. But to submit to him, they didn't. They refused to submit to his righteousness. All day long I have stretched out my hand to a disobedient and contrary people. I liked when we went through this last time on Sundays a few years back. I noticed that in this chapter, there's a 10-4. Remember how CB truckers, you know, that's how they say amen on the road. They say 10-4. 10-4, good buddy. And it's really like a Holy Spirit 10-4 here in verse 4, chapter 10. The Bible tells us that he's put an end to the law, Christ. He's changed things for us and opened up things to us. Interesting, you know, how in the book of Acts, after Peter trying to explain how this man stood there whole, mentioned how the Sanhedrin rejected Jesus. The following verse, after this is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone, followed by, nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. 10-4. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's stand. It's a Holy Ghost 10-4. Let's pray. Lord, we do thank you, Lord, for your promises. Be no one who believes in you will be put to shame. And Lord, the simplicity, availability, accessibility of you, Jesus, of righteousness by faith, of your plan, of your will. Lord, we turn to you as close as our mouth. We ask that you fill us, Lord, with your Spirit. We exercise the faith that comes through and by the Word to open up our heart to you. You might have your way. Lord, override. Give us the rest and the peace in the midst of this fight, contention for you, for your purpose, for your life, for your namesake. Lord, we thank you for all that you do. We thank you for your provisions, for your faithfulness, for calling us, drawing us, opening our eyes, showing us, Lord, the truth, that we're not ignorant sheep here, but you've revealed the truth of the Scripture to us, Lord. And we thank you for it. We ask that it be planted in our heart, Lord, that it would find good soil and grow a seed, grow and take over our innermost being, our life, directed by you, by your Spirit, by your Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord. Again, we praise you, we commit. We ask you to seal your word in our hearts, Lord, for your purpose. In Jesus' name, amen. Did you have another song?
Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound, saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but been set free. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Jesus loves me, this I know. Heaven's gates are open wide. He will wash away my sin. Let this little child come in. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah,
Any other prayer requests? We prayed before we started, and We'll sandwich the message in between some prayer. Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. There's an open door to heaven. You know, He does open the door. And He's available to us this evening. You know, the resources of His grace and mercy. Anybody else? Well, I'll pray. Father, we thank You. We thank You for the church and what You're doing here and drawing and building a team. And Lord, for Your plan and Your purpose. We seek wisdom and discernment, what we're to do. And the post we're to man, all of us, Lord. The gifts that You've given each of us. Lord, the gifts to be exercised and used and for Your glory, Lord, that You'd be honored and seen and manifested, exalted, attractive. Lord, we turn to You. We ask, Lord, that we wouldn't be as those who know You as a stumbling block, but as a building foundation. Lord, that we would submit our heart, our mind, for Your purpose and Your way. We turn to You. We hold up the upcoming outreach and God advance, Lord, the church activities, the God rules thing, and we pray that You draw those that are supposed to be here, and that You direct and orchestrate the speakers, and You administer, Lord, and those that do participate be sensitive to Your Spirit, and it wouldn't be a thing of the flesh, Lord, but it'd be a thing directed by You. We hold up this Art in the Park outreach in Roseville. We thank You for the approval from the SETI board that we received, and Lord, we just ask that You would go before, that You put a hedge about the gazebo and the field and the area, Lord, that we set up and seek You and call on You and worship You in. And Lord, it would resonate. You would be made manifest and clearly seen, close as our mouth and our heart to others, Lord. You would show Yourself, that You would draw, that You would bring. Lord, we do pray for those around us and the souls that You put in our circulation. And Lord, let us share the desire Paul had, Lord, in our heart for their salvation. And Lord, let it be our prayer, our true prayer. And Lord, we need You to transform us, change us, equip us for this kingdom's work and sake and fight and battle and life, lifestyle, relationship. And Lord, we desire an anointing, Lord, that You would pour out Your Spirit upon us, revival, according to Your plan, according to this time, purpose, place, people. Lord, we thank You for Your faithfulness and Your goodness and Your patience with us, Lord. You're waiting for us to respond to You with our whole heart. Lord, do stir us up that we don't miss out. Lord, that You have Your way here among us, in us, through us. We praise You, Lord. We ask that Your name be exalted. Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord, Your name would be magnified, Lord, accordingly. We commit the rest of this evening to You, and we look to You, Lord. Have Your way. In Jesus' name, amen.
Can I just make a suggestion?
Yeah. I don't have the Bible. But the word is very nigh unto thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou mayest do it. See, I set before thee this day life and good and death and evil, in that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply, and the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. But if thine heart turn away, so that thou wilt not hear, but shalt be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I denounce unto you this day that ye shall surely perish, and that ye shall not prolong your days upon the land whither thou passest upon the Jordan to go to possess it. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you. Well, that's a heavy, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him. For he is thy life, and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, to give them. Amen. 10:4. Praise the Lord.